Here's a vort on Megillat Esther, which is based on some of the Vilna Gaon's comments on Parshat Toldot. When Esther decides to go into Achashverosh's chamber, so she asks Mordechai to tell Bnei Yisrael, "Lech knoset kol yehudim anim seim b'shushan v'tsumu alai v'al tochlu v'al tishtu shloshet yamim laila v'yom kam ani v'narotai atzum ken." So she tells him to tell Bnei Yisrael, "Tsumu alai, fast for me." It's a little bit strange. It sounds like she's asking the entire nation to fast on her behalf. Why don't you say, fast for your own sakes. You're all in danger. It's true that she's in danger, but is she really asking all of Am Yisrael, sumu alai, just for me? That word alai is a little bit strange. We need to explain it. So in order to explain it, we have to look in Sefer Bereishit. Vilna Gaon makes a comment in two different places. Number one, in Parashat Toldot, when Yaakov is dreading to go into the room with Yitzchak to get the brachot and to take them away from Esav, so he's scared. He thinks he's going to get caught. So his mother Rivka reassures him and says, "Alai kilatcha bani." This means that she said, "Don't worry about it. If you get cursed, it's on me. I'm going to be the one who gets your curse." But then again, why would that satisfy Yaakov? Why would he say, "Oh, okay, as long as you're the one getting the curse, then I'm going to go in"? Instead, the Gra says that Alai is actually an acrostic for Esav, Lavan, Yosef. These are indeed actually Yaakov's three big curses. Esav chased him, Lavan tricked him, and he lost Yosef for many years. Now, if you fast forward, so what Rivka was saying is that Alai kilatcha bani, indeed, you will be cursed, and Alai is going to be your klala, Esav, Lavan, and Yosef. Now, fast forward to the scene where Yaakov is being told by his sons that he has to send Binyamin down to Egypt in order to get back Shimon. He responds with Alai hayu kulana. These things all happened to me. What does that mean? So the Gra says that he meant, it's not fair. I already suffered from Alai. All three things have happened. Alai, Esav, Lavan, Yosef. There's no Binyamin. Why do I have to lose Binyamin as well? That's not fair. That doesn't make sense. That's not supposed to be part of the cheshbon. That's what the connection is between Alai kilat chabini and Alai hayu kulana is. Now, in that light, maybe Esther is tapping into that. She's saying, tsumu alai. We are still suffering the leftovers of that original curse that occurred because Yaakov took the brachot from Esav. Those three curses, alai, we're still feeling that. So in order to get rid of that, here in Shushan, we have to fast. Tsumu alai, fast for alai, to get atonement and to get rid of the curse, to clean that up. Now, why would she think that? Why would Esther think? Is there any other source that would indicate that what's happening to the Jews in Shushan is connected somehow to Yaakov? In fact, there is. Final piece is the Midrash. Midrash connects Yaakov and Mordechai. When Yaakov steals the bracha, Esav doesn't just accept it quietly. He doesn't just go off into the night. The Torah says that he let out a bitter scream, Tsa'aka Gdola Umara. And the Midrash actually says that this did not go unheard by Hashem. And in fact, when Mordechai, later on, Mordechai in the Megillah, he lets out a Ze'aka Gdola Umara, very almost identical terminology. The Midrash in Esther Rabbah says that they were connected. Esav's cry is repaid by Mordechai's cry, which means that not only did what happened to Yaakov happen to Yaakov, but later on, many generations later, Mordechai has to suffer and let a Zaka Gdola, the whole Bnei Israel, have to suffer because of what happened. Now we can understand why Esther thinks, Tsumu Alai, the events of Megillat Esther are actually apparently directly impacted and caused almost by Yaakov's stealing of the brachot and the curse that he received of Alai, which they're feeling much, much later. Now, I was just thinking, what is the connection then? And maybe there are different ideas that you can come up with, but what I was thinking is that Alai, in all four of these cases, really, describes situations where, you know, maybe we thought we were safe. You know, Yaakov doesn't actually run away from Esav until his mother warns him. Now, shouldn't he have anticipated that Esav would come after him? But eventually he has to run away. Later on, when he's with Lavan, Yaakov probably feels pretty comfortable. You know, his cousin, his father-in-law is going to take care of him, and he doesn't really see it coming, all the different ways that Lavan tries to mess him over. And then with Yosef, the Torah literally says, Vayeshev Yaakov, and Rashi says, Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'shalva. He thought, okay, this is it. My time is over. I'm going to retire. I'm going to enjoy myself. And exactly at that moment, Kafatz Alei Rogzal Shel Yosef, that's when he has to experience the terrible tragedy of losing his favorite son, Yosef. Likewise, in the Megillah, we see that Bnei Israel went to the Mishteh of Achashverosh. They're probably feeling pretty good about themselves. you know, they're in the inner circles, they're in, you know, in politics, they don't have anything to worry about. And all of a sudden, Haman comes out of nowhere and declares and sets out this decree that he's going to destroy the Jewish people. In all of those cases, there's this false sense of safety. And Esther is coming to tell the people, you guys, you got to wake up. Allah is still around. We have a need to pray. We have a need to understand that Ein lanu ami lahisha'en ela avinu shebashamayim. Bezrat Hashem, the moment that we're going through right now, as Klal Yisrael, feeling you know, a little bit of complacency up until Simchat Torah, and then realizing that, you know what, we are not totally in control. And Bezrat Hashem, over the last few months, coming together, fighting against Hamas, and realizing that we need Siyata Deshmaya, Bezrat Hashem, we're going to get rid of that Klala of Alai once and for all. Purim Sameach.